Good morning and welcome to the finance show, tiptv.co.uk. It is Tuesday, the 20th of September. I'm joined here by Alan Green, who's CEO at Brown Communications. How are you today, Alan?
I'm very good, Zach. The fan app show, I've not heard of that before, but that presumably is a take on the finance show. So, yeah. Okay.
I was going to say finance.
Finance.
I was going to say that, but I got confused and I had to say the normal way, and then everything went pear-shaped after that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Alan. Financial markets on the edge of their seats ahead of the Fed and the BOJ,
yes.
But squeezing higher, presumably on the basis that they think the Fed is going to do nothing and the BOJ is going to say that they've been doing the right thing for the last 25 years.
I think you're right, Zach. I think it's going to be more of the same. We're trading in a range, all the markets are. I think the main driver for the markets at the moment is the oil price. And of course, we had President Rouhani making promises to the Venezuelans yesterday, who requested an oil freeze. Whether that or not that will take place or not, we don't know. But regardless, oil does seem to be squeezing higher. And it's probably factors like this and commodities that will be the main drivers for the markets in the short term. Longer term, we've got economic data out. Rightmove house prices yesterday showed year-on-year rise of about 4%, pretty well in line with expectations. So business as usual. Will there be any change from the BOJ and the Fed? I don't know. Some people in the markets are saying that because we're trading in a range, we are more susceptible to a major correction the longer it goes on, which of course is probably true if we carry on trading within these flat ranges something will have to upset the apple cart, whether that will be another crash in the oil price, whether it'll be mining stocks going through the floor again, who knows. But for now, we have this phony calm.
Okay, speaking of phony calm, let's go for the most popular in business and finance, which the JP Morgan equity strategy. Equities will continue to unwind July-August bounds, according to them, given that the increased uncertainty over the future path of bond yields comes just as we've had US CESI moving negative, mm-hmm. ISM manufacturing moving below 50, and services ISM falling the most since 2008. Our view remains that the growth policy trade-off has likely deteriorated for equities.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure whether what JP Morgan's track record is on these matters, but maybe somebody can look that up.
Yeah, not that good, I think, you'll find.
Right. Next up, we've got Mike's Morning Markets, which you would have seen a couple of hours ago in the early edition of the Finance Show. Asian markets traded sideways on light volume as investors awaited rate decisions from both the Fed and BOJ tomorrow. A similar opening in Europe is expected. CLSA reports that China's shadow banks may face $350 billion in losses to add to the $1 trillion in losses from the banks themselves. But obviously, as we know, these days, that's not really very much money, is it?
I was going to say, $350 billion for the world's second largest economy, soon to be the world's largest economy, it's a drop in the ocean. What's the US national debt? How many trillion? 1.7 trillion? Or?
Yeah, but they're a reserve currency, so it doesn't matter.
That's
For the first time in a year, two of the US's 23 primary dealers, Barclays and BNP, dissent in saying that the Fed will raise rates tomorrow. Presumably, both will be totally wrong. Deutsche Bank is said to be working on securitizing billions of dollars of corporate loans in an effort to offload risk and free up capital. Don't think that's going to save them, really. Do you?
They've had a few problems over the past year, haven't they? I think you get the impression of an eggshell bank. All is fine on the surface, but underneath there's possibly very little. I think they're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic? Would that be too strong?
Well, no, the other thing is that they've just had, that eggshells have been stamped on by the Department of Justice with a $14 billion fine. So
yeah.
I don't think that's going to go help it very much either.
No.
Corporate companies reporting earnings today include Kingfisher, GVC, and FedEx After Hours. And that was from Mike Ingram, market strategist at BGC Partners. Yes, now we do have the most popular in business and finance. Markets anticipate super central bank Wednesday. Stock markets, foreign exchange and fixed income are trading cautiously ahead of highly anticipated monetary policy decisions by the Bank of Japan and Federal Reserve. That's according to the FT. And then Brexit, buckle up, a nasty divorce looks inevitable. Britain's faltering steps towards Brexit suggests we may well end up exiting the single market as well as the EU. Surprise, is from The Guardian.
Yeah, well, that's fairly predictable, but I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that we will. As I've said all the way through, I think this is a giant game of brinkmanship to force the EU Parliament to reform, nothing more.
And I don't care about exiting the single market. We managed to get it up to 1973 or whatever it was without it. Who cares?
Who cares? Indeed.
Right, next slide, please. Commentary from Nicole Elliott, the trader at the Investors Chronicle. China loans slow, not surprising given the previous slide we were talking about, but while demand for mortgages to buy residential property in China continues to firm, data released this week, compiled since 2004 by the People's Bank of China, very reliable source, hit a record low with a reading of 55.7, down from a peak closer to 85.2, showing that companies are simply unwilling to borrow. It's always interesting that people, the lower interest rates go, the less people are want to borrow. They don't mind 20% on a credit card.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. But just going back to People's Bank of China, I mean, if we look at their track record of GDP numbers and everything else, I think they're always a little too too on the optimistic side. So
how do you know?
Well, just I think supposition and general, you know, looking back at what the bank have predicted over the past few years and what's actually happened.
Right, banks making wrong predictions. That is unusual, isn't it? The index for small businesses also hit a record low at 55.8, medium ones too at 52. Tougher rules have been imposed when granting advances, and anecdotal evidence suggests non-performing debt is rising quickly. So, Nicole, tying in with our earlier slide. As well. And then Bank of Japan in focus. Today, the Bank of Japan starts a two-day rate-setting meeting where their decision is not due until after the markets in Tokyo close on Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, rather unhelpfully, are public holidays, so reaction to whatever they decide is impossible until Monday.
So they're compressing two-day meeting.
This meeting also aims to evaluate current ultra-loose monetary policy, exchange rate targeting and quantitative easing generally. No doubt they will conclude that they have done the right thing for the last quarter of a century.
The right thing for the last quarter of a century, but I think they're between a rock and a hard place, really. There's nothing else they can do.
Right.
Arbonomics.
Next up, we've got the economic calendar with my favourite event from New Zealand, the Global Dairy Trade auction. Not quite sure what that means, but it sounds wonderful. In the US, we've got housing starts for August, building permits also for August, and then BOE speak, BOE Executive Director Hauser speaks in London, and BOC speak, Pollard's speech in Quebec City.
Well, building permits, I think, are anticipated to come in a little better than last time, but housing starts, I think, will be less than the previous figure, so...
Right. Oanda clients, where they are at the moment, gold and silver at the top of the pile, as they have been for quite some time. Yeah. They're also betting, let's say, with the Bank of Japan and being long of dollar-yen. Sterling creeped up to above the 60% level there as it has creeped down towards $1.30. And then the sort of the aberration there, the being really short of dollar-Canadian as well at the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
Going on to Investors Intelligence, the co-report, the S&P continues to build out a small base using the 100-day exponential moving average as a floor and the 50-day as the neckline. The MACD remains at the same level as per the late June-July upside reassertion.
Plenty of support there.
Going on to the more from Investors Intelligence, the Nasdaq 100 develops a bullish point and figure breakout at 48.40, price objective 5,200 and stop loss at 4,640. Well, and who would really feel like disagreeing with that at the moment?
Well, that's encouraging. That's very encouraging.
On to the Tip TV trade of the day, Euro Aussie by the shakeout after the bullish break. Quite a horrible break back there on the inverse head and shoulder breakout, let us say. Buy around 148.10, objective 150, stops below 147.
That's quite a pullback, isn't it? Albeit a higher low.
Right, onto live charting with a couple of stocks from you, Alan. First is Horizon Discovery Group.
Okay, this is the gene editing group, genomics, personalised medicine. This company I've talked about for the last couple of years, and they've never really quite pushed through and held through £2 a share. However, Brokers Panmure and Numis are very optimistic, both with buy ratings, 270p, 252p. Revenues up today, interim revenues up 19%. The company has 13 million cash in the bank. Still making a loss, but the losses before tax reduced down to 4.3 million. Again, this is, from a charting standpoint, looking quite encouraging, given that the stock has retraced, I think, today and is at the 200-day level. So my feeling is if it holds the 200-day on an end-of-day close basis, then we could be looking at a good point to buy in.
Well, it's been an extended base over the past year. Yeah. Next stock, a stock which has been a rather more dramatic uptrend. One was called Smart Metering Systems. SMS is the mnemonic. What's your view here?
Smart Metering Systems, as the name would imply, provide metering services for water, for gas and electricity. They are expanding rapidly. In fact, I've talked about these on numerous occasions on various podcasts and other channels and here as well, when the stock was trading below £2. As we can see this year, it's had a phenomenal year, but is trading well above double support in the form of the 200 and the 50-day average. So the company pays a dividend yield of 0.6%. It's hit now the broker target prices for the past 6 months. So there may be a pullback, but I would argue if it pulls back to support, it's got to be worth buying. Interims today, revenues up 25%, underlying EBITDA up 20%, earnings per share up 23%, dividend raised by 25%. This company is going places.
On that note, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, thank you very much for opening the Tip TV Finance show for us today. I said finance correctly this time. We'll be back after the break.